Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. I certainly hope you're going to be able to stick around for the entire show. Today is Monday, June the 8th. I hope you had a great weekend. Today I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to start off with a tough question. I can't believe I'm doing this to you on Monday, but we're going to be talking about this really throughout the week. Do you trust God? Yeah, I know. I know. It's a rough question, isn't it? It's one that we struggle with. I mean, this is not an easy question. It's an uncomfortable question for many of us. Do you trust God? At one time or another, we all seem to, I think I'm safe to assume that we all have our doubts. We trust him up until a certain point. When things get rough enough and the challenge gets so great, we all, I think, have our breaking point where we really don't trust him. Today we're going to begin to look at the life of the prophet Elijah. As I was at Daily Mass today, the first reading tells us about, the first reading introduces the prophet Elijah in the first book of Kings, chapter 17. He really comes out of nowhere. There's a drought going on in the country. King Ahab he's an evil ruler. He's an idol worshiper. And Elijah appears to King Ahab, telling him that this drought's going to last until the Lord gives me, the prophet Elijah, the go-ahead to say that it's done. Certainly not an easy position to be in, but the reason I think this is such an important story to look at, an important character to look at, is Elijah really was asked to trust the Lord in a big way, and he did it. He responded, he obeyed, and great things happened because of that. And that's the message I want to have to you today. If you trust God, if you go along with his plan, even when it's not easy, then he can use you to do great things. If you don't, if you run the other way, if you are afraid to step out of the boat, if you're afraid to embrace the cross that he's been giving you, well, you're going to really block him from doing great things in your life. You're also going to block yourself from peace. Again, that's really counterintuitive. Trusting God without knowing the details, that's going to bring me peace. Believe it or not, it really will. So we'll talk about Elijah today, and we're going to ask that question. Do you trust God? I said I hope you had a good weekend. I really hope you did. Things have been difficult in my household recently. I haven't been sharing too much about this, but my wife has been struggling with some pretty serious anxiety related to the coronavirus. Even though we are all healthy, we have always been healthy, we haven't been taking any risks, we're not really venturing out too much other than to do the usual things, especially when the times were really, when the virus was really prevalent. I mean, it's starting to wind down here in New Jersey, but my wife's really been struggling, and it's been a tough battle. I would ask you to pray for my wife, Eileen. She has no problem with me sharing this. I've written a lot, and I've spoken a lot about overcoming anxiety with the help of Christ, and he has helped me tremendously. But I think it's important for me to share with you that sometimes it's hard for me. As somebody who tends to be anxious, I struggle sometimes with no feelings of hopelessness, feelings of despair. And I think it's important for me to tell you that because I want you to know how I deal with it, right? I want to be honest with you. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to make you think that I have this mastered because I don't. I'm a sinner who needs a savior. And most of my days are spent on my knees begging my Savior to help me 1 minute at a time. Now, for the most part, I'm peaceful. But that doesn't mean that I don't have my moments. So, you know what? We'll talk a little bit about that today, too, because I'd like to tell you I always trust Jesus. I trust him more now than I did in the past. But I'm nowhere near where I should be. And I know what I need to do to get my peace back. And I know what deprives me of my peace. Sometimes I do the things that are going to take away my peace. So before I talk too much, because this is going to get pretty deep, it's funny, I intended to just talk about Elijah, but I think it ties in nicely. Holy Spirit's taking me down this path, but before we go too far down this path, I want to pray and make sure I say the right things, because this is some deep stuff, all right? So let's pray. Let's turn to our Father in heaven, who loves us unconditionally. Let's praise him a little bit. Let's worship him. Let's give him the honor, the glory. He is almighty, right? We'll do that, and then we're going to ask him for what we need. I'm going to ask him to keep me on track today so I can deliver the right message. And I would invite you to join me, pray with me, because that's such a privilege to be able to pray with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Abba, Father, you are all-powerful. You are almighty. You are all good. You are love, Father, pure love. Father God, we thank you for creating us today. If we are alive right now, it is only because of your goodness. If you didn't want us to be here on this earth, if you weren't providing for us to take the next breath, we would cease to exist on this earth. So we thank you for that. We thank you for creating us to be in a relationship with you. We thank you for listening when we speak to you as we are now. We pray, Father, that you will speak to us through the life of the prophet Elijah today. We pray, Father, that you will give us a message. I ask you to send forth a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit right now. Fill me up, Father, so I can deliver the message that you have for us today. Trust, surrender, really hard things for us sometimes. I pray, Father, that I can be honest, that I cannot let pride stand in the way of telling the truth on this show, that I can admit my faults. And I also pray, Father, that through your Spirit I can give your message. We pray that the Spirit can open our hearts, open our minds, and make us willing to listen and follow your instructions. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, it was Trinity Sunday yesterday. We celebrated the most holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are so blessed you know, I'm not going to get too deep here because it gets confusing, but as members of the church, we are in Jesus. Jesus is the mystical body of Christ is the church. The mysterious, the supernatural, the spiritual body of Christ is the church. And as members of the church, we are in Christ. You know, I like to picture it like we're on an airplane. The airplane is traveling to a destination. The destination is heaven, right? That's our ultimate destination. We get on the plane when we are conceived, and when, more appropriately, when we are baptized, because that's when we become incorporated into the church or the body of Christ. We become adopted sons and daughters of the Father. So the Father's the airplane, right? We're all in the plane. The plane is heading to heaven. The plane is Jesus, really, because we are in Jesus. We are members of Jesus, and we are headed to heaven. That's our destination. But when we pray, or we could say the destination is the Father, I don't want to get too complicated because I'll get myself all mixed up. But you can picture yourself as sitting in an airplane, and the plane being Jesus. That's the mystical body of Christ, and we are all in Christ. So when we pray to the Father, when I just prayed to the Father in Jesus' name, I was praying as a member of the church or a member of the body of Christ to my Father and Jesus' Father in heaven, because the Father adopted us because of Christ. I was praying to the Father in heaven in Jesus' name. So that's a really powerful prayer. You know, our ultimate goal in life should be to do the Father's will, because that's who we are meant to be. That's what Christ did. He did the Father's will. That's what he did while he was on earth. And in order to help us with that, we were sent the Holy Spirit. So that Trinity is really important. You're in Jesus praying to your Father with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's amazing, right? And the Holy Spirit can help us to make the decisions we need to make. The Holy Spirit can help us to pray. The Holy Spirit can help us to love, because St. Paul said that the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's really powerful. So it's really cool that we have this Trinitarian faith. So yesterday I was thinking a lot about the Trinity, and that's why it's so great to be able to bless ourselves in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Anyway, my name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. I promise we are going to talk about Elijah today and this whole idea of do you trust in God? And where this came from was the first reading from today's Daily Mass is from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. I'll read it and talk a little bit about it. But before I do that, I mentioned that my wife is struggling from some COVID-19 related anxiety. And, you know, this has been tough for many people. She does the right things when it comes to faith. We pray together. We ask the Lord for help. But there are times when she panics and she realizes that she is panicking and not trusting. Guess what? I do the same thing. And what happens with me is I've been pretty good with the whole COVID-19 thing. I'm not overly freaked out. At the same time, I'm not going to go out and take unnecessary chances because God does give us common sense. He expects us to be careful and be considerate of other people. I don't want to be somehow a carrier of this thing and infect somebody else. I also don't want to bring it home to my family. So we're called. That doesn't mean you don't have faith if you're cautious. People imply that, and it really is unfair and it's wrong. If you are cautious and you are not going out, if you're not taking chances, if you're staying home like we were advised to do by the medical experts, now you can debate this all you want. Are they lying to us? Well, you got to believe somebody, right? And if this disease is spreading and we're told that if we wear a mask or go out and stay home whenever possible, that we can help slow the spread, then I just think that's the responsible thing to do. So I see a lot of needless attacks right now. It doesn't mean you're a coward because you're wearing a mask. It doesn't mean you're a coward because you're staying home when you've been given a dispensation for mass. I mean, you've got to do the right thing and let the Spirit guide you. But I'm getting off topic here just a little bit. But I've been pretty good with the coronavirus thing. My wife has struggled with it. It has not been easy for her. The whole idea of how are we going to get it, when are we going to get it, are we going to be able to isolate properly? You know, and our minds can easily run away. Now, the reason I panic is I panic that I can't help my wife because I'm very protective of my family. That's a good and a bad thing. It's good when I do that, when I protect them, but it's bad when I don't give up control, even to God. That's a weakness of mine, one that I'm aware of and I'm trying to work on with the help of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I panic when she is panicking, and I panic that I'm not going to be able to calm her down. As a result, we both get a little excitable. We tend to be passionate, emotional people, and it's not fun sometimes. But we love each other, and we struggle in our own ways with this whole idea of giving up control. And then she hasn't been sleeping at times. She's been struggling with some sleep issues. And I've got a lot of work to do. I've got my show. I've got writing deadlines. And I start to panic thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get my deadlines? How am I going to meet my deadlines because I'm dead tired, right? And then eventually, and I'm telling you this, I'm being brutally honest and open with you because I want you to know how I work through this with the help of the Lord. I always pray every day. I make it a point in the morning. I've got my devotionals. I've got my scripture passages. I've got my prayer time. I wake up early and I pray whether or not I feel like it. So there's some times when I'm just tired or I don't feel like it or I'm not feeling the presence of the Lord. I pray anyway because that's what a relationship with God is. It's not a matter of feeling good. There are times when you will feel nothing, but I advise you, I urge you, pray every day. Make it a point. Have a set time for prayer. Don't miss it. Switch up the prayer if you have to. I do that. I've got all kinds of different methods of praying. Sometimes I start to feel a little flat. I get distracted, and I'm there. The prayer time is not negotiable. I'm there. What I do during that prayer time may vary, because I don't want to be going through the motions. Sometimes you can't help it, but if you can switch up your prayers, it makes it a little more dynamic, and you can help. You can really bring your prayer life to life, if you will. So, but the important thing is you got to pray every day, whether or not you feel like it. There are going to be days when you don't feel like it. There are days when I don't feel like being nice to my wife or my kids, but I love them. I'm in a relationship with them, and I do that. So what happens with me when I begin to panic like that? How am I going to get my work done? I didn't get enough sleep. I've got to sit with my wife. We've got to take a walk. Eventually, the Holy Spirit guides me, reminds me, hey, Gary, you can't do anything without help. And I go back to Jesus when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then, you know, you can also look at St. Paul's advice in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in him who gives me strength. So if I got writing to do, and I'm writing for the Lord, if I got radio to record, if I have other obligations, and I start to panic that I can't get them done, that's the reminder for me from the Holy Spirit, like, Gar, you better ask for help. And that's how I've been able to work through this. I eventually get to the point where I say, ah, I can't do this. I need help. Please help me. Please help me to get this done. And then gradually my peace starts to get restored. Now that's the process. That sometimes I think about that. It's conscious effort. Sometimes I don't. It's subconscious. Now today I was tired. For some crazy reason, I woke up at 2:30 last night and couldn't get back to sleep. No real fear. My wife was sleeping. She was okay last night. Everything was good, but I was just awake and I never got back to sleep. I went to Mass today and I was just kind of feeling a little funky. You know, that's a theological term. but I did feel a closeness with Jesus, but still in a bit of a funk. When I got to receive him, that was amazing. I just, it just gave me a confidence. And I always miss him when I can't receive him, and I really try to go every day. But on the way home, after I was making my Thanksgiving, it's a little weird. We're doing parking lot masses here. We're all sitting in beach chairs, and we're going to move into the church pretty soon. But it's great. It was a beautiful day. But on the way home, as I was making my Thanksgiving, talking to Jesus, I just put on some praise and worship music. I like contemporary Christian music. I put on some music, and there's a great song by Lauren Daigle that came on, and it just uplifted me. A lot of times the Lord speaks to me through music. So these are some of the ways I connect with him. When I'm starting to maybe spiral a little bit out of control, I mean, there's usually warning signs before that happens. I use the term, I'm in a funk. That's how I know when I might be headed down the wrong path if I don't address it. So I really talk to Father, the Son, and the Spirit throughout the day, asking for help. I make sure I read some scripture. I've got different books that I read. I connect with God frequently, and eventually my peace is restored. So I share that with you, not only to ask you to pray for my wife and for me too, but to pray for anybody who's suffering from this coronavirus, not just physically, but emotionally or spiritually. You know, people's faith is being tested. People are questioning. Also financially, people are suffering in a number of different ways. So keep them in your prayers. Keep us in your prayers. And you know that I always pray for you as well. But I want you to know that I don't have all the answers, and I have to work through this anxiety stuff. It gets easier. I have to do less work than I did 5 years ago, because so much of it has become a habit. But I still have that anxious tendency. I have this nature to be a little bit anxious, or a lot anxious. And I tend to panic. That's my thing. And that's why I'm able to write so much and talk about this. But I always want to be open and honest and transparent with you to let you know what I go through. So you don't think like, oh, Gary's got it all mastered. There's something wrong with me. No, trust me. I'm a big time schmuck. And there you go. There's your other technical term. Sometimes I use the word schlub, schmuck, whatever you want to call it. I struggle. I'm incredibly weak. But God is so good. If I cling to him and really find these ways to connect with him throughout the day, I can feel his peace no matter what's going on. All right, so let's talk now about trusting God, Elijah the Tishbite. 17th chapter of the first book of Kings, suddenly Elijah appears on the scene with no mention. All of a sudden, this prophet Elijah is here. Elijah, he's known as a non-writing prophet. There are no books, none of his words written in scripture, but he's an important prophet. And he did some phenomenal things. And after today, I'm going to talk more about him throughout the week because there's a lot of lessons here, especially when it comes to God's providence. So, verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, Ahab's the king, the idol-worshipping pagan king, not a nice guy. And this is gutsy for Elijah to have to deliver this message, and that's what prophets do. Now, we're all called to be prophets. When we're baptized into Christ in the church, we are baptized into his prophetic ministry as well. We're priests, prophets, and kings. The prophet role doesn't necessarily mean we predict the future. A lot of times we think of prophecy as solely predicting the future. Prophets are the go-between between God and the people. So when I proclaim the good news, when I share the gospel with someone, as we're all called to do, I'm being a prophet. Elijah has to say some nasty things, the things that are going to really annoy the king. But he doesn't hesitate. So check this out. This is what Elijah says to King Ahab. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve. See, he's aware of his role. He serves the Lord. His life is surrendered to the Lord. He's not making up his own messages. He is just delivering the message of God. And this is what we're all called to do. During these years, there shall be no dew or rain except at my word. So God spoke to Elijah and gave him the message. Look, you're going to be in charge of the rain. You're going to say, it's going to be up to you, working, of course, with me. This is God talking to him. When it will rain. And a drought's a big problem. A drought in the land is going to dry up the crops and the water is going to go away. It's a huge problem. It's going to hit them financially, kind of like what we're going through now. You know, it's a big drought right now. Financially, we're all hurting. Businesses are closing. It's so sad, isn't it? I keep hearing of businesses closing, but this is very similar in a way to what we're going through. There will be no dew or rain except at my word. And then the Lord said to Elijah, leave here, go east, and hide in the weighty Kirith, east of the Jordan. He had to hide because the king was out to get him. He was delivering this message saying that it's up to me whether it rains or not. And this is a big deal when Elijah said this to the king. But then the Lord said, go hide by this wadi, which is a brook, right? Leave here, go east, hide east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the stream, so it's a brook or a stream, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there. Now, on the surface, and I when I sent out my email devotional today, my Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled message, I talked about this, and I mentioned that on the surface, this sounds like a good plan, or it doesn't sound overly ridiculous, but it's a horrible plan. It's a ludicrous plan because, first of all, a brook, a stream, a wadi, whatever you want to call it, in a drought is going to dry up. So the Lord is telling Elijah, you're going to get your drinking water from this brook or stream. And the ravens, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Ravens are scavengers and they're unclean. Very unlikely source of provision. If you're going to have a bird to deliver your food to you, it wouldn't be a raven. But the Lord said, I have commanded the ravens to do this, and you will get your water from the stream. Go and live there. Now, if that's me, maybe if that's you, we're going to ask a few questions. Say, wait a minute. I don't know about this, Lord. I don't know if I can do this. But you see, here's what happens sometimes. When the Lord puts us into situations, and he wants to increase our trust, he asks us to obey even if we don't fully understand or sometimes even if it doesn't make sense. And I am not saying be irresponsible, but sometimes we get put in a situation where we think, this is too big for me to handle. I don't know how I'm going to do this. What did Elijah do? So he left and did as the Lord had commanded. He did it. He obeyed God. He went and remained by the way to Kirith east of the Jordan. Ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the stream. Bread and meat, you know what that is? That's a sandwich. So the birds are bringing Elijah sandwiches. And he drank from the stream. God was faithful. God provided. Do you trust God? And we will talk more about Elijah as we go through these readings throughout the week, because it's such a good story. It is such an example of someone who trusted in God, someone who trusted that God would provide. It's hard sometimes to trust. It's hard to trust when you don't think what God is asking is possible, or when you really don't feel His presence. It's hard to trust. But God rewards that kind of obedience. And we're going to see the great things that God did through the life of Elijah. And He did provide for him. God wants to work miracles in your life. He wants to use you for great things, and He wants to bring you peace. Are you willing to trust Him? And we'll talk more about this when we look at Elijah tomorrow, and maybe throughout the rest of the week. I've trusted Him sometimes. When I felt that it was time to get back into full-time ministry after taking a break and going to work in a parish, I felt all the signs were telling me that it's time to get back out of the boat. I trusted after talking to a lot of people whom I trusted, and my wife especially. And I did it. And I'm so glad I did, because the Lord has been faithful. Was it easy? No. It was hard. But He is trustworthy, and He wants to provide for us. So I challenge you today to look at a way that you are being asked to trust Him right now. And are you willing to obey as Elijah did, even when it might not make sense? It's going to be different for each one of us. But I guarantee if you do that, your relationship with Him will grow. Listen, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you would like to make a donation, remember the place to do that is followingthetruth.com. Just click on donate. You can do it securely through PayPal. It really means a lot. When you donate, when you become monthly sponsors, it really helps me. It keeps me on the air. So if you'd like to keep the program on the air, please consider doing that if you can. If you can't, this show is always going to be free of charge. So you go ahead and download it as much as you want. I am so blessed to be able to be here with you. I hope you're blessed by the program. I'm going to run now. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. And God willing, I'll see you tomorrow.